When it comes to only children, three words come up over and over again: lonely, selfish, and maladjusted. But our next guest is here to bust only child myths and talk about the benefits of growing up a singleton, and for parents, having just one kid might be the solution to the ongoing conflict between the demands of parenthood and modern realities.
And we want to hear from you. Are you an only child, or maybe you're a parent who made the decision to stop at one? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email at talk@WPR.org. Tell us about your experience.
Lauren Sandler is a journalist and an author and an only child herself. Her new book is called One and Only, The Freedom of Having an Only Child and the Joy of Being One. Lauren, welcome.
Hello, fellow only.
So the standard line right out there that we hear over and over, only children are lonely, they're selfish, they're messed up. So as a culture, are we still buying that?
We really are, and it's amazing to me that we are, because as we know, we discontinued the rest of the stereotypes in the 90s, but this one remained somehow. It survived political correctness. It also survived hundreds of studies done over decades and decades disproving that we are lonely, selfish, and maladjusted, and yet it continues.
So why do you think those labels have such staying power when we've evolved in so many other ways?
Well, I have puzzled over this for the 3 years that I was reporting this book. I think that three elements are in play. One was, when we were evolving as a species, we needed to have more of us to survive. And then as we evolved into agrarian humans, we needed more of us to thrive. Children were a labor force, and the more you had, the more you could make it. But then the Industrial Revolution hit, of course, and then suddenly children began to cost more instead of earning more. And meanwhile, women's roles were starting to change. And obviously, they've changed radically. But I really think that we still haven't really caught up to notions of what women's freedom really means. And so to be saying you need to mother more, more, more all the time keeps things at least somewhat in the box it's been for a while, which doesn't mean that you can't be much more than a mother if you have more than one child. But to have this social messaging to tell us to have more children all the time, it does seem to be that's sort of an engine behind it.
Well, and as we said, you're an only child who grew up and decided to have only one child. How did
so
your family
far, at least.
So far, so that could change. There's going to be a sequel
I
to your
have
book.
A few years to change my mind. People keep joking, "Oh, you've got a sequel in mind."
Okay, Lauren, you can't cave now. You wrote this book.
Right?
You're in. But I mean, how did you make those choices? How did your mom make that choice?
Well, for my mom, you know, I actually think it was easier for her to make this choice in the mid-70s than it is right now. You know, it was a time of radical feminism and strong environmentalism. People were really redefining their lives in terms of family planning and population in ways that got some public support, at least in certain zip codes. You know, I grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, so that's pretty, I think, familiar territory. And in parts of Wisconsin, you know, the sort of university areas where such ideas were smiled upon instead of frowned upon. And right now, it doesn't really feel that way so much anymore. So her feeling at the time was she and my dad lived in an apartment, and they didn't want to move. And she did great work that she loved, and she didn't want to do less of it. And they wanted to live somewhere where they could pop up and get a good cookie at 9 o'clock at night if they felt like it, and have a little bit of spontaneity. And, you know, it worked out really well. We were sort of a fun, lean team, and my childhood was pretty good for it. I do think it's harder when you're an adolescent and when you're an adult. It's ironic to me that it's the childhood of only children that people are most concerned about, when I do think that it's tougher the older you get. But, you know, I'm making similar calculations now in my own life. I live in New York. I'm a writer. I'm married to a photographer. So we're the idiots who chose low-paying careers in one of the most expensive cities you can live in, and we refuse to give it up. So, you know, this is one of the ways that we suffer for it, I guess. But mainly, you know, we're really happy with our kid. We're crazy about her, and we have a great time. You know, I spent the day with her on a train today coming back from her cousin's house, and the two of us just yapped it up, and I thought, this is pretty great. I don't need to mess with this to be happy. And it's really that feeling that I think leads us a lot, is this is good. We don't need to change it, so why would we?
Well, and even you who's, look at this, you're so comfortable with this. You talk about it on the radio, you wrote a book about it, but you still get branded with the selfish stigma that you've somehow made a selfish choice by having one child, that your mother made a selfish choice. And so it's not only the child that people worry about and sometimes judge, it's the parent, isn't it?
It's absolutely. And it's funny, I wasn't that aware of the judgment until I had a kid myself. As an only child, it wasn't something I heard that much. But once you're out there as a parent with just one kid and people ask you, where are your other kids or when are you having them, and you see their faces fall when you tell them, I'm not planning that anytime soon, it really turns something up. And it's hard to escape. You know, I too, even though I'm incredibly comfortable with this and, you know, as I guess we could say very out about it, talking about it on the radio. You know, I watched my daughter be a really great sort of big sister figure to younger cousins all weekend, and I saw how beautiful that is. And when she said to me earlier today, Mom, I want a sister, it's like, uh-oh, okay, we're going to have this conversation again. We have it all the time. But I do think that it's a conversation that she can have with me, and that's something I really appreciate.
Well, I want to get at some of these tags that only children have long gotten: lonely, selfish, maladjusted. Is there any recent science to back those up? What do we know now about those assumptions?
Well, there isn't. What we know now about loneliness is that only children tend to have a stronger primary relationship with themselves, which is actually like the best armor against loneliness you can have. All human beings are lonely, and so to be able to rely on yourself makes a big difference. That said, and this isn't something which is really borne out in the studies so much as the lived experience, I interviewed tons of people for this book, you know, if you're an only child living in a rural area away from other kids, that can be lonely. If you're an only child who gets homeschooled, that can be lonely. So for only children who go to school and can have other friends around, it doesn't make a difference that much. But for only children who are very much alone, that can be hard. In terms of selfishness, the most recent studies show that both in terms of selfishness and social adjustment, school is the great equalizer. It used to be thought that, you know, that siblings were necessary to kind of beat you up for the world a little bit. And people have found that your classmates can actually beat you up just fine, that there's enough abuse that happens in the classroom and on the playground, that the sort of learning that we get from conflict and competition with our siblings can actually play out with people who aren't related to us as well. Though there certainly is a learning aspect to that. But, you know, as recently as I think last year, 35,000 kids were polled about how many close friends they could name, and only children named just as many as any else. So, you know, furthermore, only children tend to have very, very strong, almost familial friendships. We tend to really cherish and nurture those relationships, because we know if we have a falling out with someone, they're not just going to be at the dinner table every night for the next week. We have to work on it. And so we actually tend to be very good at making friends and making very close, lasting friends.
Yeah, I love how you call that. You say only children are intimacy junkies.
Yeah, well, so, I know I am.
That rang a bell
for
with me,
or
too.
For worse.
Yeah. Do you think that this, I don't know, is it fair to call this prejudice? Against
sure.
only children, is that too strong a word?
No, I mean, I met someone just a couple weeks ago who was telling me a story. You know, she was saying, well, I was in a job interview a while ago, and it came out that I was an only child, and the person who could have hired me looked at me and she said, you know, I'm sorry, just on policy, I don't hire only children.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, what if we were talking about a different minority group? What if we were, if she was talking about a racial bias or an age bias or a gender bias? That would be unheard of right now, or at least it should be unheard of right now, but it's really tolerated. And I'm, you know, I certainly don't believe that prejudice against only children is the same social issue is racism. But we at least know that one of them is wrong, and we accept the other one as a given.
So what do you think that families of only children, what kind of conversation should they have to tell each other that kind of, I'm okay, you're okay?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, it's amazing. No one has thought to ask me that question in all of this time talking about this book. Because it's funny, I do feel like our conversation about parenting only children sort of begins and ends with don't do it, instead of how do we do it to feel okay about it. I think it's really important that parents know that only children are fine, or rather, we're not any less fine than anyone else. I mean, parents are going to screw us up whether we have siblings or not, and we'll screw ourselves up too. But I do think that it's really good for parents to know that articulating longing for more children is something that can be really hard on only children, that can make them really long for something they don't have and not quite feel normal or enough themselves. And to just, you know, be really upbeat, but without being too intense about it, which can be a hard thing to do. You know, one of the beauties of being an only child is that you get all of your parents' undiluted resource, which is not just money, but it's time and energy and attention. But too much attention can be overkill. And so I think it's just important for us to learn how to lay off a little bit and put our kids in the context of other kids, that, you know, that if you're around enough other kids, you know, okay, well, my kid's acting this way because they're five and not just because of who they are. That can be a very liberating thing, both for us and for our children. And I say this having read research, but also having to live with an only child who's five every day. And let me tell you, all five-year-olds have tendencies of the only child stereotype. But it's good to remember what's in play here. But mainly for parents, I think the most important thing, and this is a big part of why I wrote this book, is to protect their own happiness and to own that a bit. I mean, we have been in such a lockdown of parental self-sacrifice in this country.
It's
where
kind of that thing about a happy parent has a happy family and
yes,
a happy child.
I believe that. My mother really believed that to be a good mother, she had to be a happy person.
And all right. Well, we'll talk more about that, more to come as we talk Only Children. We're talking with Lauren Sandler, author of One and Only. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also head over to the Central Time Facebook page and leave your comment there. We're talking with Lauren Sandler, author of One and Only, about the freedom of having an only child and the joy of being one. And we want to hear about your experiences. You can call us up at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you're an only, how have you enjoyed being an only? And if you have only one, how do you feel about that decision? And we'll go now to our first caller, Tara in Hastings, Minnesota. Hey, Tara.
Hi.
Hey.
I wanted to just thank Lauren for writing this book, because I have one son and I don't want any more children. And it's just such a taboo. I get pressure from everybody, my pediatrician, my in-laws, my parents, everybody, to have more. And I love how Lauren said, you know, the only discussion that's ever really brought up about how to parent only children is to not do it. So I just wanted to thank her for her insight and for just basically saying that it's okay.
Oh, thank you so much, Tara. When I hear from people that they get it from pediatricians or psychologists, I get so mad. So I really appreciate you reminding me that, you know, beyond the notion of a cultural issue that's generally out there or the uncomfortable conversations we have with family or friends sometimes, that there actually is, you know, an entrenched professional bias here, which is a real issue. And I really appreciate that. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you so much. Do you have any advice, though, for Tara about what to say to people when they do say things to you like that that you'd rather not hear?
Yeah. It's such a hard, hard situation to deal with. You know, I've had moments where the supermarket line, I've spit out, you know, economic factors about the rising inflation of parenting, and I've thought, oh God, that just doesn't get anywhere. So lately I just smile and move on, but yeah, now I just want to push my book at people. What can I say?
All right, well, good luck, Tara, and thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We go to Kevin in Whitewater next. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. We are the parents of one daughter, and not only is she an only child, but she's an only grandchild on one side of the family. So that really made it interesting right from the start. But the other thing about having an only child that I think is really cool is they can't blame it on anybody else in the family. Yeah, such as one time our daughter
tried
to blame
something. That's one of the worst things about being an only child.
I thought it was just terrific. She tried to blame it on the dog one day, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Pass the buck.
Yeah, so who's responsible when the kid has an issue? You know, I guess, you know, you can't pass the buck if you're an only child.
It's true.
Yeah, but then again, with only one child, you get to spend more of your resources and time on that one person instead of, you know, having to worry. You know, personally, I've got two brothers, and I couldn't imagine having any more than one child because you just want to spend so much time with one.
Right. I've heard that argument from other parents, Kevin, who went on to have more kids, but they couldn't imagine loving any child more than that one, and that led them to want to stop right there. And some people do. So I don't know. But then, I don't know. How do you think about that, Lauren? Have you heard that before? Sometimes people think that their love is complete with that one child.
Yes, I hear that from a lot of people. And it's something I feel myself, and I know my parents felt themselves. But, you know, I've also watched so many friends have second kids or third kids who have felt that too. And then they really love that next kid. And so I think it's amazing how much capacity for love that we have, way beyond what we can ever imagine. And so I don't know. I think that it's hard to make a decision based on that, but I think that it's also okay to trust yourself. And if you know yourself and you know that's how you feel, and the only reason that you would feel compelled to have another kid is because you feel like it's the right thing to do, because you don't want to be a selfish person and the world has told you that, or you don't want your kid to be messed up and the world has told you that. I want people to have just confidence in being happy where they are.
Well, I want to get to, before we're through here, one more question that I think is an important one that you raise, that there's so much talk lately of a work-life balance and having it all. And we're finding, you know, with the economy, resources, you know, really having it all is getting harder and harder to do, if not becoming impossible. How does this idea of having only one child factor into that discussion?
Oh, to me, it is huge. And it has been just gobsmacking to me that it's been absent in this having it all conversation. To me, the answer to the having it all question lies, frankly, in family policy that we don't have, but the rest of the world gets to have. You know, we don't have the support in America that exists anywhere else. And I don't just mean what the EU looks like. You know, we're ranked for third or fourth worst family policy in the world. We're only bested there by Liberia and Suriname. We tie with Swaziland. That's how bad it is. And yet, in our country, we say, you need to have more kids, you need to love it more than anyone else, and we're going to help you less than anyone else. So what this does is it puts the impetus on our individual decisions so much more. Which doesn't mean that in other countries people aren't having only children based on the same calculus. You know, right now it's a month ago, the UK reached half only children. And in Asia, it's obviously huge. In Germany and Austria and Ireland, it's a really growing phenomenon everywhere. But we are the place in which it, I think, makes the biggest difference because we have the most to do as parents with the least support. And because of that, it feels like, okay, well, what if you do work more? What if you actually, God forbid, want to do something beyond just live your life at home and at the office? I mean, it's always so interesting to me that we call it work-life balance. That's rarely what we're talking about. We're really just talking about work-parenting balance. You know, work-life balance never takes into account what if you want to have cocktails with a friend or go to the movie or, you know, have dinner alone with your husband or, God forbid, take a walk by yourself or read a novel, all things that I didn't stop wanting to do just because I had a kid. And I think that if you have one kid, not only are your resources undivided between more children and you can therefore devote them to your one child, but you can actually save a little bit for yourself. And if that's how we get the selfish brand as parents of only children, I think that, you know, I'm okay with parental selfishness. I also think that having those additional resources and some more time allows us to be more active as citizens and more active in our communities. You know, it's ironic that we don't have better family policy because, of course, all the people who would advocate for that are too busy taking care of their kids and working all the time. So it's really hard to make our society look a little bit more like what I think some of us might really benefit from because we don't have time for that sort of civil action. We don't have time for an engagement beyond our to-do list at work and at home. And I think that this is a way of opening that up. That doesn't mean that I think that everyone should have one kid. I think that people should really do what they want. But I do think that if what you might want is to have one, or if that's a choice that your body has made for you and you're feeling lousy about it, there's a lot of freedom in there, and there's a real benefit in there. And that's something that we could actually start celebrating instead of demonizing.
Well, Lauren, it'll be so interesting to see if you start changing things with your book. And I appreciate you being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
That was Lauren Sandler. Her book is called One and Only, The Freedom of Having an Only Child and the Joy of Being One.